What are we talking about?
Not talking to your kids about things.
Not talking to them or talking around them?
Maybe both.
Maybe both. How to have conversation with kids about difficult things, or
when not to have conversations with kids about different things, difficult okay. things. When not to have conversations with your kids. Maybe that's it. How about we just talk about what we want to talk about and then we can give it a title later.
I think we're both pretty smart. Let's just do it and come up with a title later. Hey, thanks for joining us for this edition or this episode of Conversations with the Browns. I'm Mr. Brown, and you're going to tune into a conversation with my wife and I about the 2021 school year. Actually, we're following up our previous podcast. You can listen to that on our website, lifeofthebrowns.com, or on iTunes, Apple Podcast, on Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, a lot of other places. But check out that episode as we continue our conversation. Today, we're talking a little bit about processing these things in front of our kids or around our kids. I remember the saying, more is caught than that is taught. In other words, kids are listening. They're catching all kind of stuff. And so as you process, as we process some difficult things, we want to make sure that they're not catching the wrong things. Because we may move on from that, but they may not. So that's the conversation topic today. And I'm thankful. I'm so grateful that you're joining us. And a special shout out to all of you who sponsor us through our or support us through our Patreon page. You can find out more about Patreon by going to our website, lifeofthebrowns.com, lifeofthebrowns.com. And a special shout out to our sponsors of this specific podcast. This episode is Sutherland DDS. Sutherland DDS, they love to see you smile. They might even make you smile because they take care of your teeth. We'll think about that later. But check them out at yourreddingdentist.com. Once again, that's yourreddingdentist.com. We're so grateful for them. They take care of our teeth and they help sponsor this podcast. With that said, let's jump into the episode. Me and my wife, our conversation. We don't have a title yet, but we're talking about processing things in front of our kids. All right, here's the idea. We're processing a lot of stuff right now with the 2021 school year. But you notice some things about our daughter as we talk about certain things when we're still processing them out loud. And you've noticed how she's responded to some of those.
Sure, and I guess I would articulate one of our values as communication. We want to be a family that communicates. I learned a good amount of sarcasm growing up, and that's one way to communicate.
You mean the Wilkins family is sarcastic at times?
We have some real, we highly value.
You highly value sarcasm.
Sarcasm and the just intellect that it took. Someone in my family at one point read an article that talked about the, just like the cognitive skills that are required to understand sarcasm and took it as a badge of honor. That we're just real smart people. That we can say something which is not what we mean and just come at all the things sideways. But the downside is it doesn't work well with children. They take everything too literally. Anyway, sarcasm is not the only way to communicate. And I certainly came to the parenting table wanting to practice a more extended range of communication skills.
So we have a lot of open conversations with our kids.
Yeah, and I really value involving them in the process. Sophia right. specifically is our oldest, and she is a girl that just came into the world with a whole lot of ideas. And I, as a parent, have valued them. There have been so many times where I have said something and she said, she's offered her idea, and you know what? She had a better idea. And I have always wanted to value that, to instill in her respect and that it matters how you communicate
to people. Mama, you're wrong.
But I think that's actually, maybe that's another podcast about why I hate the phrase stop talking back, because I actually want my children to talk back to me. I want them to respond to me and I want them to share their ideas. And maybe because I carry this sense that my voice doesn't matter, I want my children to know that their voice matters.
Right. But it still matters how they do it.
Right. But I want them to know that it matters. And even for our family to be a place where we work out the messy details of how do I show up with what I want to say when I don't know how to say it well yet. Mm. And so that matters to me, but so she has lots of ideas, but I also am realizing she is highly tuned into how I as her parent feel about how we feel about things. And she is a kid that really values things feeling under control.
Right.
She does not, she really is highly stressed by things that are, she even hates surprises, like even good surprises. She does not want a surprise birthday party. She doesn't even really want surprise presents. She really, she doesn't like feeling out of control.
Well, I think she does like surprises some ways because she likes feeling special. So like if there's a surprise, and she knows, like I've given her, and she knows, it's for her, she can get excited. But I think you're right. She likes to anticipate what's the next step, what's going to happen.
Even the fact that she likes to know that something's coming. She does not want to be blindsided by situations that are out of her control. It's really unsettling to her. And there is a lot of life that on the one hand, part of parenting is helping her know how to cope.
Right.
Because there is so much of life that is out of your control. But
man, we should have told her about the pandemic coming. We should have let her know ahead of time that she was going to be out of school and all this was going to happen ahead of time.
Right. Because that's impossible. So that's where this, especially with a pandemic, there has been, it's just heightened everything because there is so much of the entire world that is out of control. So it just raises the stakes for a lot of things where normally there is so much rhythm in her life that then uncertainty and changes in plans, there's more space for that. But especially as we have been processing, what are we going to do with school in this next school year? I have really been paying attention to the fact that I need to be careful about how I talk around her. I want our kids to be invited into the process, but the problem is I am freaked out right now. And I know that our kids, I know that kids are resilient and that they can do hard things. And I am very conscious of the fact that I want to pour more of our conversation energy with our kids into that, into this next year might have some hard things coming and we have a lot of choices to make. And we can do hard things. And we're together in this as a family. And there is so much that is out of control and that we, or that we don't have direct control over. But we can work on how we respond. There's so many conversations already to have. And I realize I'm not sure that it's helpful for her to witness me verbally flailing.
Hmm. Because on one hand, you don't want her to think you totally have it in control all the time. You can share that. But I think in the moment of seeing, with everything else going on, you're saying, letting her see you or me out of control, certain feelings, but maybe negative toward whatever, that she just need to see all of that because she may embrace somewhere where we're not anymore. Like I remember the story about taking an offense for a friend or like your husband or wife or somebody. Like if something goes wrong, somebody betrays you, for an example, or they do something bad to you, and I get mad at that person too. You get over it, but I'm still mad at them for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think I get that. Is that what you're saying? The idea of...
Yeah, that I at least want to be aware of that and asking that question. I don't know that there's a right, I don't think that there is a right or a wrong or what everyone should do, but I want to be consciously asking myself that question. Specifically, this came up because a friend and I were arranging a chance for our kids to play together, but mostly the reason we wanted to do that was... We both have kids, but mostly we want to get together because we're both kind of afraid and freaked out about the next school year and trying to figure out, we know we want to get together and this is one of the things that is top of our list of what we're thinking about. But I want in that moment to be thoughtful about the fact that my daughter is listening to my friend and I spin, and what we are looking for from each other in some ways first is just to know that we're not alone in being right. scared about that. But ultimately, we're able to do that because we are confident that the place we're going to get is that we are going to love our children and we are going to lead them through an unpredictable circumstance. But we kind of need the commiseration with each other to be like, this is crazy and we don't know what we're doing and we're kind of scared, but that feels safe to me because I know that we're gonna figure it out. And the friendship and that commiseration helps me know I'm okay, even though there is so much I can't control. If I have this, that experience with that friend tells me I'm gonna be okay, even if everything falls apart, I'm not in life by myself. and there's someone else doing this, trying to figure out parenting right along with me. And I realize that my daughter is not experiencing that moment the same way I am.
Right. And so it's okay to process with your kids on a certain level, but all processing is not to be need to be done on the same level in the same context. Yep. So the way I process with my daughter is going to be different when I process with you and when I process with my friend. Mm-hmm. Those may be different because they're different styles, different rawness, different things that we can handle different levels. And even processing on social media. Like, there's a lot of process on social media that shouldn't probably be done on social media because it's not the place. Now, some can be because you're offering ideas and you're talking, but some stuff you may say that you will say to a spouse that you would never say in public, and you should have that space to do that because you need that.
And it's, I mean, at least for me, it's helpful for me, like with social media, to realize some of what I'm witnessing on social media is people who need to process, and it's okay for me to not. And to realize that they're choosing to use this space to do that, but that's not what I'm here for. And it's right. Okay for me not to engage with that.
Right.
I, as a grown-up, can choose that. It is much harder for our kids to choose to not engage with the way that we are in their presence. And I think that the pandemic has made this more intense because normally my friend and I would drop our kids off at school or at preschool and we'd go on a walk or go, like, we would do this processing when our kids aren't around. Now the people are not going away.
You said in another podcast we talked about, they're not going away. They're just still here. It's a real
problem for me. I hate that it's such a problem for me.
I love my family, but they're never going away.
They never leave.
They never leave.
And so it makes it hard because my need for processing and my sense of being out of control and needing to know that I'm not alone in this has gone up. And also my opportunity to do that in a way that doesn't impact our children has gone down.
And it made me think, it's so funny that our kids sometimes don't listen to what we say until we're talking about stuff that's none of their business. Yeah. It's kind of like watching TV. Like, we're watching a football game, the kids are not really paying attention unless somebody scores a touchdown or a commercial comes on. And it's always the worst commercial to come on. And then they're like, ding! And we could be talking about all kinds of things, talking to them. They don't hear a word we say.
Yeah, how is it that they do not hear the call to please come put your bowl in the sink? But they could be in the bathroom and I say something to their Nana and they already know that they might get to go to Nana's house.
Right, because they just those antennas. And Sophia is, I love her, but she has those antennas. Like, she can be in the other room playing with her doll, having a conversation. We say a particular word, she's like, what? What are you guys talking about? And she wants to know because she wants to be engaged.
She's smart and she's tuned in and she has a lot of really good ideas. And I want to be able to engage with her on those. And I want to be able to do it, though, in a way, even where I can express my fear to her. I think that it is okay and even good for her to know that I'm scared, too. There's a lot that I'm not in control of, but how do I do that when I process just a little bit?
Right. So we still haven't come up with a title for this episode yet, but the idea of processing in different spaces, in different ways, and making sure, or just being attuned to the fact that the way you process with your kids, especially in this situation, because so much is their life, and you don't want your kid going to school upset at their principal for making them wear a mask, because that's what they may interpret something totally wrong because you've processed something about the mask and not liking masks is stupid, whatever. And your kid goes to school thinking the principal's stupid for making them wear a mask.
And even if they're accurately reflecting how I feel about a situation, the bigger issue is...
You're not saying your principal's stupid, though, right? You're not saying that.
No, but I know people that's how they feel about this situation. And so even if that is how... That's not how I feel, but even if that is how they feel, part of the bigger question for me is, like, I'm not the one who has to be in fourth grade and be a fourth grader. I've already done that.
Right.
So it's easy for me to have lots of opinions about it, how it should be and how that's going to affect our family. But ultimately, if I have talked in the presence of my children to every grown person I know about the fact that masks will keep my children from being able to learn, but the end result is I am choosing to send my kid to a school where they have to wear a mask, well, then I've set them up for being sure that they can't learn in this situation.
Wow. Yeah.
And as a parent, what I actually want to do is, and go listen to the conversation we just had. I need to figure out, what do we value as a family? And what else is at stake? What is the nuance here? And what do I actually have control over? And then how can I choose to show up? And in this situation, I want to be able to lead our kids well and realize they, even in a situation that I disagree with, if we are going to send them, if you're going to put them in that classroom, it's probably not helpful for them to have heard you for 2 weeks up until that date saying how awful it's going to be. Because really in that situation, I want to be able to say, this might be really hard, but I mostly want my kid to hear, you are really strong and I believe in you and you can do this and we can do hard things. But they are not going to, they're smart. Kids are so smart. And if I've been talking for 2 weeks about how ridiculous this is and that it's impossible, they are not going to believe the one pep talk that I give them on the way out the door, that you can do hard things, you're going to be great. They're going to believe all of the things I've demonstrated to them, not those words out of my mouth. And so I want to be really thoughtful about the fact that even as I am trying to process, I am demonstrating for my kids whether or not I can do hard things.
Right. It's funny you say that, because we talked earlier about that song we both grew up listening to in church. Be careful, eyes, what you see. Be careful, ears, what you hear. The idea is they can't be careful what they hear unless we put them in another room. They're going to hear things that we say. And so we have to, as adults, be careful what we say and the conversation we have in front of them, around them. Again, there's time to process them. And we totally believe as a family to be open with our kids, to have conversations. But some of that is child appropriate and age appropriate for where they are. And that point you made is so important, because we'll say these for 2 weeks or so that they can't learn in school with a mask. We'll talk to all our friends about it on the phone, everywhere. And then we send them to school and say, hey, go learn, because we don't have any, this is the option. That is so smart that we need to consider that.
And I think even one of the things with all of this that has been crazy, one of the things I'm realizing is I have to be okay with expressing to you, hey, babe, I need space, because we're all, nobody's going anywhere. So I need to be able to say, you know what I need is I need time where I can go process with a grown person and our kids aren't going to overhear it. And normally we would do a lot of that together, but because of the situation, you possibly need to be able to go process while I've got the kids in a safe space. And I need to be able to go hang out with a friend and know that our kids are with you. And being able to, for some reason, that's hard for me to even ask for some, because so much is intense and it just feels like, but working through this and knowing that I value processing and I value being thoughtful about what we're putting in front of our kids helps me know this is important. And even though that's going to mean, shifting of schedules and lots of different things, it's okay to ask for that. And if you weren't available, or if I was a single parent, it would be okay for me to ask a family member or a friend to say, hey, could you come be with my kids so that I can go process this with a grown person? Because it's just a lot. It's really a lot. And I want to be able to process with our kids when we've gotten to a place of where I actually believe the words that I'm saying. Right. And with some of my friends, I'm able to say, this is ridiculous and hard and impossible, so that I can get to what I know is possible. And I don't need my kids to hear the, I know that my friends have capacity for me to say how I feel, even though I know it's not always true.
And it may change. I mean, it's, a lot of times we'll say things in this moment that is true in this moment, but as we get new information, we get new motivation, it changes. And we truly do change. We're not just like playing games, but we grow into a different place, because look at all of our lives. There were things that we thought were impossible in our lives, but now as we grow, they're every day. We do them. And like I like the phrase I keep hearing in the last episode too, do hard things. Yeah. To teach our kids, we can do hard things, because sometimes we as parents want the road to be easy for our kids. And that's kind of natural. But listen, they're going to grow more by doing hard things, because life is going to be hard, period. Yeah. And so I think as we set them up for that and help them through that, it's okay to process that, but there's process needs to take place, different place, different times, for different reasons.
Yeah, and I think it's been important for me to at least ask the question of where do I need to process this? Is this something I want to process with our kids? Is this something that I want to process with you in front of our children? Because I think that's important for them to witness too, that parents don't just have it all together, and that we might fight and then they get to also watch us make up. That's important for them to witness that. But there's also some things that it's okay to say, you know what, I really need a space where I can just be raw and emotional and don't have to be thinking about how this is impacting my child.
And I want people to hear, who listen to the conversation, hear us clearly, that we do want to include our kids in everything we do, but there are different stages of that. Like, for an example, we're working on our mission statement, and we had a time with them before we come up with the mission statement as a family, what we value, let's hear from them. And I was really surprised at how much they contributed. Like, they had so much to say about who we are, what we value, what we like to do, but they have minds and they have things to contribute. And so we want to process that with them, but we don't do all of our processing with them or in front of them.
And I guess maybe that's, you know, it's so interesting the different perspective we bring, because I was not surprised. When we talked about doing a mission statement, I knew up front, I can't make this without our kids being a part of it, because they are so much a driver of who our family is. And I am so aware of the fact that they are their own little people. And I knew up front, there is no way that you and I sitting at the table could really capture what matters to our family without our kids adding their voice to it.
Well, I was surprised because Sophia's attitude. I mean, not that I didn't think they have things, but when we first started explaining, she goes, like it's going to be so hard, but she just took it over. At one point, you wanted to tell her to stop because she wanted to save the whales and save this and save that.
She has so many ideas.
Yeah. And so I wasn't totally surprised. I know they contribute all the time. They have a lot to say, but it just changed when we begin to ask questions about what you value. What do we value as a family? And we start talking about generosity and hospitality, and it just started the ball rolling, and they just kept talking. So I think it's good that they want to process and they have minds. And I think another thing is, as parents, to make sure you take time to listen to them, because some parents don't do that. They don't take time to listen to their kids talk about nothing and everything. That's another podcast too, but I found the value in our family of letting our kids talk. And even Evan, who is slower to process and get it out of his head, not to talk over him. Just wait. I mean, the brother may take a good 10, 15 second pause before he says something, but when he says something, it's worth the wait. So I think it's important.
Yeah. And I think that some of this doing the work of processing where I'm at is important for me, because I realize it's hard for me to be present to my kids and their really strong emotions when I'm feeling emotions that are just as strong.
Yeah.
If I'm scared, if I'm uncertain about school and what this is going to look like, it's really hard for me to hold space and be really like open to the fact that they're really scared too. And if I can have done the work of whether I need to call a counselor or call a friend or get alone by myself and journal, if I've really been intentional about doing that work for myself, then I'm more able to share empathy, but let it be from a place where I already understand where I'm at and I can show up as a grown person.
Right.